It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along for the broadcast as well today with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. Good afternoon, good morning, whenever people hear this show today.
Good afternoon, Daniel. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, we're hearing this on Saturdays a little bit sometimes, too, here on KCIS. Daniel, this week, real nuts and bolts issue, talking about unhappiness and loneliness. Mm-hmm. And could that really be what's causing someone's depression?
Right. You know, so typically people will come in and they might not say I'm unhappy or I'm lonely. They'll probably use the word depression. Mm-hmm. And maybe they've been diagnosed with it. And so a person will come in, an adult, or maybe it's a parent that's sending a child or bringing a child or a young person, and that really freaks parents out when the young person starts to act depressed, because depression has a thing in our culture where, boy, when you get it and you've got it, you've had it.
You know, it's like cancer, you know, or something.
Yeah. And so when we look at that, the big D, we find that maybe that can be broken down into some bite-sized things that can actually be addressed. And a lot of times it is people are unhappy or lonely. In fact, I forget where I was reading it sometime back, not too long ago, but somebody had written a book on how that people aren't mentally ill. They're just simply not satisfied.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, you could argue that it's semantics, but if you take the road that they're not satisfied, then the questions become obvious. What will satisfy you? Whereas a lot of times we sort of think of a diagnosis of anxiety and depression as things that you probably aren't going to be able to get rid of because they're, you know, it has come up.
Well, I mean, we don't want to make light of this, but at least current medical diagnoses as far as sicknesses, anxiety, depression, fast becoming the number one sickness, in quotation, in America.
Yeah. And they can actually also be psychosomatic. They can drive physical.
You want to kind of dig down into this. What is really going on?
Yeah.
How often do you think a diagnosis of depression is really just something more simple, like, well, you're unhappy, you're lonely, or maybe, gosh, God forbid, You're just feeling sorry for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the vast majority of the time, depression has an answer, something like that. There are medical causes.
Physical reasons.
There can be, you know, most people are savvy enough by this time to know that diet can have something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the thyroid factors greatly into really the general function of hormones in the body. So that's got to be key. Low iodine in our diets, and I think that because of the way food's processed, there's a lot of
the female hormones too. There can be a real condition caused by that.
Yeah, and these the difficulty is that all the symptoms of the thyroid and the diet and these other things, they mirror those of depression. And so that, you know, the two kind of get linked together. And so we call that depression and say it's brought on by these other things. And it's kind of a chicken and the egg because depression can either be a cause or a symptom. And because depression always involves the way that we think, it's hard to keep our physical discomfort separate from our thinking. So it's really, you can start with a medical model and say it's always a neurological imbalance. And of course, you're always going to find a neurological imbalance. But proving that the source of the neurological imbalance, that the neurological imbalance is causing the bad thoughts, is very difficult. It's as easy to prove that the thoughts cause the the imbalance. So more commonly associated with depression that I find is unhappiness and loneliness. That's more commonly associated with it than a starting point of the thyroid or a starting point of diet. All those exist, and they certainly, but they can, again, you know, the depressive thoughts and stress can be psychosomatic, and it can eventually, stress can eventually affect your thyroid.
It does. Mm-hmm.
And affect the way you digest food.
Absolutely.
And so it kind of, what goes around comes around.
What percentage wise, when through the years, as you've counseled people with, who say that, who present the problem that I'm suffering with depression, how often is it as simple as, well, you're mainly unhappy and you're lonely? Would that be like 50% of the time, do you think?
Or? Well, of course, my practice, I think, you know, it's like fishing, you know, you sort of attract the fish according to your bait. So
okay.
I don't think that any one counselor could say, other than, you know, kind of reading broadly and saying what it is. But certainly in my practice, it's almost always that I've rarely, even with personality disorders, I mean, within the context, and even I've worked with kids that are mentally handicapped, and even within the context of that environment,
real physical problems.
Yeah, in the context of that environment, what they experience in terms of depression has the same answer within the context of their life as it does within the context of my life. And so even even a lot of times if there's a physiological factor, and again, it's hard to say which is the chicken or whether it's the chicken or the egg. But I would say, Mark, that in my practice, at least, it's almost predominantly that. And even if people, have a thyroid condition.
So seldom is it a true chemical problem, a chemical imbalance.
Well,
that can be fixed by drugs.
Let me rephrase that. Seldom do I think it's triggered by a chemical imbalance, because depression is a chemical imbalance.
Right. Okay.
I mean, so that's why you have that feeling.
Chicken
just like,
or the
just,
egg.
Just like anger is a chemical imbalance,
right,
in a sense, you know.
Right.
So if the doctor... If you're having a depression or anxiety or anger, and you go into the doctor, they're going to find a chemical imbalance. And can they treat the chemical imbalance? Sure, as easy as you can shut off the water that's running in your out of the tap at the sink.
Okay.
All they have to do is give a medication that blocks or enhances,
right,
and it's going to change that emotional condition. But does that get to the root of it? And that's what we're always after in counseling, mm-hmm, is, you know, what's the real root of it? So a lot of times it's this unhappiness and shame.
And the root is from fear and shame.
Yeah, and we've talked about that a lot. The root for, again, you know, barring the low probability. Now, if you're sitting out there and you have a medical condition that has triggered it, so something's happened and you have an over or under functioning thyroid or something else that's triggering that, you certainly have to take the medication for the thyroid. But in that would be, you would be not one of the you'd be in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, when I start seeing that thyroids are becoming an epidemic, I'm going to be very suspicious that it's not caused by depressive thinking, because depressive thinking can eventually
zap the
become
thyroid.
Yes, it can. So when the medical conditions start to become epidemic, then I'm going to be very suspicious that those aren't actually triggered. Now, once it becomes medical, you certainly have a complicated situation.
Mm.
But yeah, the base, by and large, you can mark it down, folks, that anxiety and depression are rooted in fear and shame, it's kind of the root ball that I've talked about before. Anxiety, depression, fear, shame, anger, those are kind of all knotted up together, and you can't talk about one without implying all the others.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come from fear and shame, and the cure for fear and shame is value, control, and power. What we're afraid of, that we're all afraid of, ultimately, if we talked about it long enough and we boiled this all out, we'd say, well, everybody's afraid of their mortality, or, in other words, lack or loss of value, being valued, of control over our circumstances in our life, and of power or resources. Those three things are being able to secure those things, to feel valued, to feel like I control the things that in my life that are going to affect me, to feel that I have the resources in life that I need. Those are powerful in dealing with the feelings of fear and shame. Shame being not shame, I'm ashamed because I, you know, shoplifted a gumball or something, but ashamed because I have an internalized message of lack of worth. So where did I get that? Well, I got it from my dad, and he got it from his dad, and his dad got it from his dad, and maybe goes back to that the question of what is man, you know? So maybe our realization that there's an ultimate holy being that we're accountable to is the source of our internalized message of lack of worth, and we recognize that if that's true, then it's a spiritual issue, and it can only be dealt with by acceptance in Christ. But so the root is fear and shame. What we do to turn around fear and shame is somehow we've got to get a hold of value, control, and power. So I want to talk about the ways that we practically do that.
Okay, interesting discussion as always. Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor, a life coach and a counselor. You've talked a lot about these ideas in a lot of your shows. Mm-hmm. And you said several hundred shows now on your website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
There are just under 100, so that's 100. Almost 2 years of weekly shows
100
here.
Shows, yeah. And they're all labeled different subjects, yeah. Podcasting. Mm-hmm. People can listen to those anytime.
Yeah.
And it's BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Correct, yeah.
And people can also email you there, and if people are struggling, they need some help, they want some individual counseling. They are struggling with unhappiness and loneliness.
Or depression.
Yeah. And they need some help. How do they get in touch with you?
Yes, you can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 778-6169. And as you said, Mark, people also email me through the website, offices in Kirkland and Edmond.
BibleBasedCounselor.com. We'll get back to more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland on the road with Daniel once again today with the Sound Mind broadcast. Real basic stuff today, unhappiness and loneliness. Could that be more the root cause of depression? Mm-hmm. And you're expounding on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've just seen cases where people will come in reporting depression, but when we get to talking about it, kind of the common denominator in so many of these is unhappiness and loneliness. And the thing about unhappiness and loneliness, they seem to always travel together. Each one quickly leads to the other. And you can just, if you just contemplate that for a moment, you come to that conclusion. People who are lonely are not happy. People who are unhappy are seldom surrounded by lots of friends.
Yeah. Well, and in America, the pursuit of happiness, life, mm-hmm. liberty, and the mm-hmm. pursuit of happiness, it's my right as an American to mm-hmm. be happy. And I'm not happy, so mm-hmm. something's wrong.
And the two things that are elusive in our culture and becoming more elusive are relationships and happiness. And again, those travel together. Mm-hmm. I forget the writer, but she wrote many books. And if I said her name, you'd recognize it. But Eleanor something or other, I think, said that my friends are my estate. Very profound. Our relationships are worth more than we realize. Mm. Until we start to get older and start to take account and tally up and say, well, I don't have any, you know, and I'm sitting here to add them up and I find out that I don't have any. Then we realize relationships should have been really important.
And what's kind of an illusion too is this how many friends you have on Facebook. You know, this mm-hmm. how, you know, I've got 500 friends. I must be important.
It's become, the whole thing of friends.
So that taps into something, too. Mm-hmm. If I got a lot of friends, but then the people are finding out that's kind of empty and that's kind of an illusion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like a rock star with fans everywhere or something and then extremely lonely inside, mm-hmm. you know. And so those, you know, it. People will come in reporting depression, but oftentimes, quite often, you can't feel like you can't do anything about the depression because it's sort of like catching an incurable disease. But in fact, it's really just a couple of things that generally a couple of things that we can deal with. And so if these things aren't understood and addressed, unhappiness and loneliness, if we don't like, you know, break those apart and unload them or unpack them, as people say, they can lead to what I call disordered personality. And disordered personality would be characterized by further isolation, mm-hmm. Paranoia, suspicion, mm-hmm. judgmentalism, chronic irritability, anger, all the things that keep you from getting around people and keep people mm-hmm. from getting around you. The APA has identified personality disorders. And we've talked before in one of the podcasts sometime about mid-last year. If people go to the website and look at these podcasts about mid-last year, sometimes 2016, I did a couple of shows on personalities and personality disorders, even in marriage and around. And I don't like to think of personality disorders, but I like to think of disordered personalities because that's what I deal with all the time. You know, we all are a personality, and from time to time, every person's personality is disordered. And what we simply mean by that, by a disordered personality, is a personality where I'm retreating from the outer environment back to the core of my personality, which is a defense mechanism. So now I'm becoming, as I said, isolated, paranoid, suspicious, judgmental, irritable, angry, and things like condescending. I was talking about somebody the other day, a couple of people the other day, about competition. And talking about how if a person's motivated toward competition by naysayers, that is people in your life that said, oh, you'll never amount to anything, and so you go out and pull yourself
I'll show
up.
Them.
You go out. That is divergent from the kind of competition that you pursue because people have encouraged you. They almost could look the same, but they diverge and they have very different outcomes. Mm-hmm. Being motivated by naysayers, you will never satisfy them, and you're never satisfied. Being motivated by encouragers, you always satisfy them, and you're always satisfied. So, even in our disordered personality in things like competition, you know,
somebody who outwardly seems like a high achiever and yet complains of terrible loneliness and mm-hmm. unhappiness. That's probably mm-hmm. what's mm-hmm. going on, yeah.
Yeah. So, and those things will also eventually can affect your body, mirroring the symptoms of the thyroid. And so that's kind of the chicken and the egg thing. Was it the thyroid or was it the loneliness or the unhappiness? They can mirror those symptoms. They can affect your energy, your sleep, your digestive system, disease, even the thyroid. An interesting book written some years ago, and now there was a sequel to it by a man named James Lynch. The name of the book, The Broken Heart, Medical Consequences of Loneliness, talking about all of the things.
Physical problems
that result from loneliness. Mm. And so even Scripture brings this out in various ways about, but the whole body of Christ is so, your metabolism and your immune system is so affected by just being in the church where you belong. This is so important today because you see our society becoming more atomized and isolated. And this is a call to Christians to get on the stick and find that church body where you feel like that's your family. Sometimes the large churches aren't right. Sometimes the small churches are too isolated. But find the one where it feels like your family.
Everybody knows your name.
Get in there, yeah. So the cure, as I was saying earlier, for this fear and shame that motivates us is value, control, and power. And in general, those value, control, and power are reached in two ways. They're reached through accomplishments and relationships. You must do things that affirm your value, control, and power, and you must be in relationships with people that affirm your value, control, and power. And those things travel together, accomplishments and relationships. So our accomplishments at some point should be about serving others, and our relationships should be about accomplishing things. And I kind of wanted to wrap this up, if we're getting there, with a scripture out of Galatians, within the, and I'd like to say to people, within the context of your situation, so I realize that there are people listening that are sometimes overwhelming situations, and this may seem like just trying to put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound, and that's not what I'm trying to do. So I understand that there are I'm speaking to people in various contexts out there. People have had have lost loved ones mm-hmm. this past week or in the recent. People have lost jobs. People have lost homes. People are in pain because of
the tough stuff of
their
life.
Decisions, mm-hmm. the decisions of their mm-hmm. young people in their in broken homes. All kinds of things out there. I just need you to hear that within the context of your current situation. Do you want to trade loneliness and unhappiness for joy? And this may seem like, again, I'm just telling you, this is the way it is. If you want to take a crack at this, trading loneliness and unhappiness for joy today, the secret is to serve others.
Serve others.
You have to stop making it about yourself and start making it about others. Galatians 5. Verse 13 and 14, and Paul says, you're called to freedom. So it's not an entitlement. It's a calling. You're called to freedom. It's a responsibility. He says, but don't use freedom as an opportunity for your flesh. And then there's the antithetical phrase here. This is separated by the conjunction, but don't use it for an opportunity to serve the flesh. And later on in the Galatians chapter, it reads out the works of the flesh, and they're not very good. They're not very nice, and you can read depression and loneliness into all those. But don't serve the flesh where all those things are. He says, but, and that's the antithetical mm-hmm. phrase, so this is the opposite of serving your flesh, by love serve one another. And then he goes on, fulfilling the law is serving one another. And it really comes down to this, that the fruit of the Spirit, which is in that same chapter, and those are all the things we want to trade for, we want to get rid of. I used to think of the works of the flesh as all, just the bad things that you can do, but they're bad feelings too. I mean, yeah. That's what results from sure. those. If you want to trade those for the good things, this is what Paul says here. Don't use your freedom to serve the flesh, but use it to serve the other person. So I'm looking at it as serving the flesh is the opposite of serving one another.
Absolutely.
So if it's about me, I'm always going to be serving the flesh, and I'm going to have those bad feelings. I'm going to be prone for those. Just a way to turn that around is, just decide in your marriage, in your relationships, young people, old people, kids in high school, going through college, feeling like, you got a lot of self-harm behaviors out there with young people and people. You want to get rid of that. It may sound simplistic, but it's just absolutely true, fundamental. Make it about other people, and you'll turn that around very quickly.
I also like the scripture. I'm not sure the actual reference. If you want friends, show yourself friendly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've always people mm-hmm. who are complaining about loneliness and feeling sorry for themselves, and why doesn't anybody, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. why don't I have any friends? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yeah. Get out there and be friendly.
Yeah, and being friendly too, to put a finer point on that, being friendly is not just going out and taking a stab at it for your own self-interest.
Right.
Being friendly starts with,
genuine.
It's about the other person.
Right.
It's about the other person. You want to feel better about yourself, find the person that feels worse about themselves than you are and encourage them and make it about them. Mm. In love, serve one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff this week. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And some of his approach to dealing with depression and anxiety, maybe not as complicated as we are led to believe sometimes, but it does require work. Mm-hmm. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy.
Correct.
So you do
correct.
Need to work through these issues sometimes, and this is not to downplay. People are going through lots of pain. You mentioned family issues going on, real grief. Maybe mm-hmm. somebody's lost a loved one recently. Mm-hmm. That's a real feeling that you do need to work through. Mm-hmm. People need some help. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And these podcasts are there. We said a couple times, almost 2 years of them. So if you go to the podcast there. Also, you might come across a link to my other website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And there are topics that I've written on that are close to some of these radio shows that are also helpful.
BibleBasedCounselor.com. And you have offices in?
In Kirkland and Edmonds.
Kirkland and Edmonds. Okay. Always great stuff. Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, and the Sound Mind broadcast here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.